Tonight we begin a two-week study over the importance of having biblical intake in our lives. So this week we're going to examine this foundational spiritual discipline. We're going to be focused on hearing and reading the Word of God. Next week we'll talk about memorizing, meditating, journaling, and learning from the Word of God. So as we stressed in week one, biblical spirituality is rooted in the Bible, right? Our right practice of all of the spiritual disciplines flow from our understanding and the time that we spend in the Word of God. So the Word of God informs our praying, our fasting, our stewardship, our evangelism, our service. God's Word cultivates the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. So the question we begin with is, why is the Bible so important? I'm going to give you two reasons to begin. First of all, God gives us new birth through the Scriptures. The Bible is critical to the Christian life because God's Word is the means that God uses to bring about new birth in Christ Jesus. So we're going to begin with 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 23. That's mine. I have that one. And it says that you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. So conversion occurs in conjunction with the truth of God's Word being read or even heard, being received, responded to by belief from an individual. It is hearing and responding to the Word and to the truth of God. So the gospel means good news. It's the good news about what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. It's the good news that we learn about by reading His Word. So in other words, one could say that Christianity is a revealed religion. And that is why the Bible is often referred to as God's revelation, God making Himself known unto mankind. The Bible reveals how God is perfectly holy and just. It also reveals something about us. It reveals our wretchedness and sinfulness. It reveals how we deserve God's righteous judgment for our rebellion against Him. But it also reveals that God is full of mercy and compassion. And through reading the Bible, we can discover and learn that we can do nothing on our own in order to bring salvation for ourselves. Our only hope is not in our efforts. Our hope is to repent and trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins and a restoration of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. God's Word teaches us that God is full of mercy and compassion, and that mercy and compassion is to be responded to through a life of obedience and submission unto Him. Christ died for our sins. The text says, according to the Scriptures, after 3 days He was raised from the dead, according to the Scriptures. The Bible, time and time again, encourages us to submit and surrender our lives to Jesus because it is only in Jesus that we find life, that we find joy, that we find peace. Do you see how spiritually lost and hopeless we would be if we hadn't had God revealed Himself through His Word? But praise be unto the Father who made Himself known unto us, the revelation of Himself through the inspired Word of God. God gives us new birth through Scripture, and God sustains us in the Christian life through Scripture. Scripture is the means that God uses to sustain and to nourish us in our Christian life. We see this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2. It's just a few verses down from what we just read a few moments ago. There it says, like newborn infants, how they long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. The pure spiritual milk that Peter refers to is none other than the Word of God. Just as infants desire milk and that's necessary for them to grow, we too ought to desire and crave for God's Word. So a Christian's spiritual maturity depends upon their regular investment of spending time in the Word of God. Our progress in sanctification is related to the amount of time we spend studying and reading and understanding His Word, because the more we understand from His Word, the more able we are to rightly apply that into our lives. So take Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 3. That's our first reader. Listen where it says. Who's our reader? Cool. See, you got to go first.
Deuteronomy 8:3, and He humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord.
Amen. We live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Or check out this amazing verse, Jeremiah 15, verse number 16. Who's that one? Right behind you, Jeff.
I need to stand. Here. Oh. Your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts.
Do we delight in the Word of God? Do we with joy long to open up His Word, to read and discover His truths and to apply those to our lives? So just as we need a regular diet of healthy food in order for us to stay physically healthy, we should also feed daily upon the Word of God so that our spiritual health could be strong and secure. The food that we consume with our mouths satisfy us temporarily, but learning God from His Word has an eternal value in our lives. So a few questions. How has spending time in God's Word shaped or influenced your spiritual growth? How has time in God's Word shaped and influenced your personal spiritual growth? This isn't a reflective question. This is a question I'm asking you. Who would be interested in answering that for us? Hey, all the way in the back. Be great. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. So my wife and I have been married for 9 years, and what was it, 7-ish years ago? We decided that we were going to start actually coming to church regularly, reading regularly, studying regularly, and doing things like that. And the only thing that it's done is make our relationship grow stronger as we get closer to God.
Amen. Amen. A priority of God's Word in your marriage. How beautiful. Hey, think about the person that was influencing you in the faith. Someone who would regularly share the gospel with you. Perhaps they led you to the Lord. Can you remember that time or somebody in your past whose use of the Word of God was a great source of encouragement or inspiration to you? Does anybody have an example of that? Go ahead and start with Martin, and then Corey, would you go back to Melody? Thank you.
Okay. The gentleman that I shot with and hunted with for a long time was a strong believer. And at the point I met him, the Lord and I had separated. And it was interesting. We went sailing because I sailed a lot. We went sailing, and every morning at daylight, he would get up and do a devotional. And I found myself couldn't wait for daylight to get up and listen and have that conversation. And then as we hunted, every night after dinner, it was something like a Bible study, because we'd sit there and talk about the Lord and do all that. And he is a direct reflection on me getting back in church.
Wow, amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Melody.
My mother-in-law is a very mature Christian woman, and she goes through a lot of storms in her life, and I have a lot of emotional storms in my life. And she said, you know what? Think of this storm as you're in a boat. Where is Jesus? Asleep in the front of the boat. He's not worried about the storm. So if you need to, go to the front of the boat and take a nap. And every time I feel like I'm in a storm, I remember to just get in the front of the boat with Jesus and take a nap, because he's not worried, so I shouldn't be.
Thank you. Let me ask you this. You can just do this one by raising your hands. When it comes to Bible intake, right, spending time in the Word of God, are you more of a hearer or a reader? Listening or reading? Let's see the listeners, the hearers. Hearing is more effective for you. I would raise my hand. That would be me. And then everybody else? Readers, then? Both? Fair. Fair. I like both. If I want to do a lot of reading, if I can have it listening and following, I do better, and I'm less distracted than just trying to read on my own. Cool. Okay, Roman numeral number two. We're preparing to receive the word. So here in a second, we're going to think through various ways to spend time in and with the Bible. But before we get there, let's talk about what our heart disposition, what it should be towards the Scripture. Because having the right heart is going to have a great impact on how we receive God's Word into our lives. So, first of all, we have three listed here. The first one is that we ought to revere Scripture. We should have a reverence towards Scripture. It is God's Word. Therefore, His Word is infallible, it is sufficient, it is authoritative. We must not approach the Bible with a casual, careless, or flippant manner. Instead, we ought to emulate the Christians of Thessalonica. Paul writes about them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 13. Who's our lucky one right there? Mitch, right behind you. I got it. Cool. Thanks, Mitch.
And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers.
Amen. You heard God's word, accepting it for what it was, not coming from men, but coming from God. Now, to say that we want to come to Scripture full of reverence for the Scriptures does not mean that we have to get all dressed up or dolled up before we begin to read the Bible. It doesn't mean that we have to put the proper game face on. It doesn't mean that we have to guzzle down two cups of coffee to make sure that we're alert and ready to go. The one who reveres Scripture is the one whose heart is prepared to receive insight about God and about us, right? It's the one who comes with humility, willing to learn and to receive God's truth and to rightly apply it to our lives. A good way to help accomplish this could be a simple, heartfelt prayer prior to the reading of His Word or the hearing of His Word. You know, something to just center our minds and get ourselves focused on what we're about to do. A simple prayer that just thanks God for giving us His Word, asking Him to use His Word in that moment to reveal something to us, something about Him, something about us, something about our circumstance, something about the world in which we live, but to use that Word in that moment for His glory. I think it's sometimes if we'll just pause before we dive in and pray unto the Father, asking for that assistance and that understanding, I think a simple process like that could have a tremendous impact on what it is that we do when we're reading or listening to His Word. That brings us to the second point, and that is humility and dependence upon God. We need to have humility and sincerely depend upon God as we spend time in His Word. We need to acknowledge that we are wholly dependent upon the Lord, and we need His help to eliminate the Scriptures for us. The Reformers, well, they called this activity of God by which the truth of His Word is pressed into our minds or our conscience. They called this the internal witness of the Holy Spirit. The internal witness of the Holy Spirit. We know that apart from the Holy Spirit working in us, we cannot receive or obey God's Word. It says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14. Winner, winner, who was it? Very good.
First Corinthians 2:14. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned.
That's right. So in order to fully understand and appreciate the truths of God's Word, one must have the Holy Spirit within them, belong to God through faith in Jesus, so that His Word can bring understanding into their lives. We go to the Scriptures prayerfully, mindful of our reliance upon the Lord as we spend time in His Word. Psalm 119, verse number 18. Is a wonderful verse to have on hand. It's a great verse to memorize. It says, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." Psalm 119 is a psalm given completely to the value of the Word of God. And many different terms are used in Psalm 119 to describe God's Word. Laws, precepts, you'll see a whole list of them, but they're all referring to God's Word. So open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Perhaps that ought to be our prayer before opening or listening to the Word of God. The third thing that we need is a heart that is receptive to His Word. In the parable of the sower, Jesus likens a receptive heart to good soil. When the seed of the Word is sown in such a heart, it takes root, and it bears fruit that is pleasing unto God. It was James that exhorts us to be doers of the Word and not just hearers only. He writes about it in James chapter 1. So who's our James 1? Thank you.
But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets what a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing.
Very good. So the Bible should not only instruct our minds, but it should also transform our lives. The goal of biblical intake is not just growth in knowledge. No, it's to help us grow in conformity to Christ our Lord. And this is expressed through hearing God's Word and rightly applying His Word to our lives. And so what we have here is going from the preparing to receive the word to Roman numeral number 3, and it talks about Bible intake methods. There are a few methods identified in our lesson tonight. The hearing of His word, the reading of His word, and the studying of His word. We begin with the hearing of God's word. So to start off with, we say that we should be regularly sitting under faithful preaching. Preaching is the means of grace ordained by God for His glory, as well as for the good and the edification of His people. So we should never abandon the faithful sitting under good, solid biblical teaching. Throughout the Bible, God uses the public teaching of His word to communicate truth to His people. We see this taking place in Deuteronomy. Before Israel crosses the Jordan River to take possession of the promised land, Moses teaches the people about God's past deliverance. A similar event takes place towards the end of the Old Testament. Ezra, who's the priest at that time, appears before the people of God. And after they've returned from their exile in Babylon, and what do they do? Well, glad you asked. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 8 tells us, upon return from the exile, Nehemiah 8:8. Somebody has it? Yes? Cool.
They read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading.
Very good. So Ezra, the priest, leading the people, they're reading from the scriptures, and then they gave the sense. They gave them the meaning. They helped them to understand. And then it says that the people understood the reading. This pattern continues into the New Testament. The resurrected Christ appears to Peter and urges him to feed the sheep, right? In saying this, he's referring to the faithful teaching and the proclamation of the Word of God, and he's portraying it as nourishment for the people. This exhortation is seen in other places in the New Testament. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 13, Paul exhorts Timothy to devote himself to the public reading of the scriptures and to the preaching and teaching of God's word. The scriptures are clear that God so values the preaching of His word that He actually blesses the church with men who will do the preaching of God's word. These pastors, teachers, they're called to in giving gifts to the church. They're God's gift to the church. Someone who can preach and proclaim the word of God. The purpose of it is to equip Christians for what? For ministry. The preaching of His word is given to encourage and equip the members to pursue ministry, to serve God, and to serve one another. This strengthens and builds up the body of Christ. We read about this in Ephesians chapter 4. Oh, I love this text. It's in verses 11 through 13. Jesus is depicted here as a conquering king. The question is, how will this king tap into his authority? Will he obliterate the world? Will he cast a cold eye upon it? On the surface, the answer comes as something of a shock. As we look closer into the text, it is in the perfect keeping with what we learn about Jesus' life here on earth. He was a servant. He washed His disciples' feet. He embraced humility. And after He rose from the dead, He carefully showed His followers how He was the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament prophecies and promises. That's the background. Ephesians 4. Who has 11 through 13? Thank you.
And He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds,
and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
So, thank you. Recognizing that teachers and pastors are gifts to the church, that ought to help us to listen to the teaching of the Word of God. It gives us a heart to help us to be grateful to God for giving us the gift of having a faithful preaching of His Word. It should create within us a softness or a receptivity to His truth. It also encourages us to discipline ourselves to hear God's Word regularly and attentively. All senses engaged in hearing and receiving the Word of God. Jesus says in Luke chapter 11, verse number 28, "Blessed rather are those who hear the Word of God and keep it." Oh, we would do well to heed Jesus' exhortation. With that in view, what are some practical ways for us to devote ourselves to the hearing of God's Word? Well, one of them you're doing right now, basic training, coming together for a more in-depth teaching time. There's Sunday school, which is a wonderful opportunity to come and to be stretched and challenged and encouraged with the Word of God. Speaking of Sunday school, like, I'm just so thankful for this church, how it has a high value of that time together. A recent study was just conducted, and it said within churches, it's actually 67% of churches have less than half of their worship service attendance in some small group within the church. We call that Bible study. I call it Sunday school. But the average is less than half. The official number comes in at 42%. 42% of those that are in worship services across the nation find themselves in a small group type, whether it's Sunday school or a Bible study group. That's the average. Our church, kudos, church, last year, 82%. 82% of those that are in the service are coming from one of our Sunday school classes, which tells me that's great. We got 18% growth to achieve here because I want to get us to 100%. And what a great testimony. So that's one of the ways that we can discipline ourselves to attentively and faithfully listen to teaching about the Word of God. Obviously, our Sunday morning services. Sunday morning service is the main meal for the church each week. We ought to think of the sermon as our spiritual feast for our soul. That ought not be the only biblical intake that we take. If that's all we get, if that's the only time we open up our Bibles is on a Sunday morning when we're together, we are some hungry, malnourished individuals. We've got to do better about being active and attentive listeners. Because hearing God's Word is not a passive thing. We have to come to the Word with eager anticipation. We come asking and expecting God to apply His Word to our hearts, that we might grow in holiness, that we might be further transformed into the image and likeness of our Savior. Then there's other things when we're not able to attend. We don't want to get into the habit, but we do make things available for you. You can watch the services online. If you do, you'll notice that it's typically one stationary camera, one angle, one view. There's no cutaways. There's no fancy transitions. We make it available for our members who are unable to attend so that you can still stay current with what's happening. But we put very little into creating a production out of it. Quite simply, I don't want you to have the same experience online as you do in person. The quality of it's not as good. The sound mixing is not always there. So as you're listening online, it'd be like, oh man, that sounds a little bit rough. Yeah, well, you should get here and be here in person because it sounds a lot better. So we make these things available. We put them up. I mean, Monday morning before lunch, each week's sermon is up. Each of these teaching times are up and available. You can see it on the website. You can go to the app. You can download these things by sermon series and listen to them on the road with the family. We make it all available so that you can be informed and have access to it. Some of you might listen to certain apps where the Bible is being read. Any of you listen to apps with Bible readings? Yeah? Yeah. Occasionally. I like being able to adjust the speed on those things. And so that's just my preferred way of listening. And I used to do that with Al Mohler's daily briefing. And I would put that thing on like 1.5 speed and just listen to him talk so fast. And then whenever I heard him in person, I was like, well, you don't even sound like that when I listen to you. Why do you talk so slow? That's just me. Okay, anyway, so what are some ways that we take in God's word? We do it by hearing his word. Letter B, we do it by reading God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, who is reading that? Michael, this is 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17.
All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work.
Thank you. So not only are the words of the Bible from God himself, we learn from this verse that they help us to grow in holiness. God's word equips us to do good in this life. And take this a step further. We learn that the person who practices and applies these words has all that he needs for training in righteousness. So, in other words, we have all that we need. It is sufficient for our lives, are given to us in the Word of God. So, knowing the value of God's Word, knowing the sufficiency of His Word, that ought to be a motivator to encourage us to spend more time in His Word. Jesus often asked, have you not read? Or have you not read in the law? See, he assumed that those individuals who were claiming to believe in God, he assumed that they were readers of God's word. And he would often ask the question, have you not read? Have you not read in God's law? In Matthew chapter 22, listen to what Jesus says to the religious teachers. This is Matthew chapter 22. Verses 31 and 32.
And as for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was said to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is not God of the dead, but of the living.
Very good. Jesus himself was a diligent reader of God's word. He knew the scriptures well. He would often say, it is written, in answer to questions posed by other individuals, even to have a response to his accusers. He would reply with, it is written. He based his response not upon his feelings, but upon the word of God. We also see an example of this in the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Three times he's tempted. All three times he responded with what? It is written. His response to the temptations was in speaking the word of God back to his accuser. That's the example that we should follow. When temptation comes, Jesus used the word of God to fight against that temptation. how we regularly need to be immersing ourselves in God's Word. That way, when questions arise, when discouragement starts to try to settle in, when sin comes knocking at our doors, when a friend comes to us in need of the truth, or when there's an opportunity to share the gospel with someone, or when our spirits grow weary, or when the frustrations of living in a fallen world begin to start to settle in our lives, in those moments when we are in desperate need of God's grace being poured out into our lives, when any of these things are happening, we can turn to the Word of God. We can meet with the Father through His Word, trusting in His promises and the assurances that He provides unto us, giving us the wisdom and the insight that we need in order to help us to walk in a manner that is worthy of our Lord. So the Bible reading is so important, and it is. The question becomes, how can we establish a rhythm in reading, or how can we build consistency in reading God's Word? As we get to a few practical suggestions, first of all, we ought to find the time. We should discipline ourselves to set aside time every day for the reading of God's Word. If you're waiting for the right time to develop the discipline, you're going to be waiting until you're dead. Because the right time is never going to just make itself available to you. You've got to create the right time. You've got to discipline yourself. You got to make it a priority. You always find the time to do the things you want to do. And so maybe the thing is, we ought to want to spend time in God's Word. Because when you have that longing and that desire, then you'll create the time to do the things that you want to do. And so, if you were to read the Bible for 15 minutes a day, if you're just reading it, you could get through the Bible in a year. There's nothing wrong with that. I want to encourage you to, if you're wanting to challenge yourself to read the Bible in a year, great, do it. But you also need to find the time to read the Bible, not for information, not for the ability to check off a box that you read this passage, but for the purpose of hearing and seeing God's Word and figuring out how that applies to your life. Bible reading is great. We ought to have a plan. You ought to find the time. But don't just read it so you can check a box, right? We ought to be reading God's Word so that He can use His Word to show us what we need to know about Him and about ourselves. So ultimately, we need to find a reading plan or some system that works for you. Anybody on a current reading plan of any kind? Many. Awesome. Very cool. A few questions. Thinking back on Deuteronomy 8:3, okay, what does it mean to live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord? Remember, it says that we should live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Like, what does this mean, or how does this impact our daily decisions? Anybody have an idea? Live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord.
Well, to be able to know God's will, you have to read the Word, and to know His will in your life, you have to read the Word. So correctly informing yourself as to God's Word will correctly inform you to how you should live your life.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
All Scripture, right, is profitable. Not just the New Testament, not just your favorite epistle, not just John. It's all Scripture.
Absolutely. That's right. Let me ask you this. Why do you think God designed preaching and public teaching as a means of grace for the church? Or either why do you think he designed it that way? Or maybe you could ask or answer, how has hearing faithful preaching impacted your walk with the Lord? Either one. Why do you think God designed it that way? Or how has it had an impact on you? Or maybe even the other extreme. How have you suffered in seasons because you lacked the preaching of God's word in your life? Amy's got an answer for us.
Well, because of the body, you know, needing one another, I think he designed it so that we would need that. And that's a gifting that God has given, that we need to not be out on our own, that we do have those that have that diligently and have that gift and desire.
Yeah.
And so it's just an encouragement, and it gives you a place to ask your questions when you're on your own and you come back as a body. I don't know, is that the question you're asking? Maybe I'm not answering.
You're answering why he designed the preaching and public teaching of his word. I think, yes. Anybody else want to? Thanks, Paul.
Sure. Well, as a practical matter, when the Bible was written, when it was first written, there weren't a lot of Bibles, and so that was the main way that people would learn the word. But beyond that, when you gather in a group and you preach the word of God, you get insights from the preacher, you get insights from other people from discussing it, and so you're exposed to it, and have to. There's a better chance of understanding it.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, you get a microphone.
I do already. There's a lot of pulpits all around the world where men get up and talk about a lot of things that aren't centered on God's word. They're centered on their own thoughts, their own desires, their own beliefs, their own quote-unquote wisdom. When a church prioritizes God's word, that is the source from which the preaching is coming, we are prioritizing ultimately God's revealed nature of himself to us through his word. So we're prioritizing what he says, not what we say.
Yes.
Or the man behind the pulpit, or person, I should say, in some instances. what they're saying.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Let me ask you this. How or what do you do in order to be an alert or attentive listener to the preaching of God's word? If you're giving somebody advice or encouragement on what they can do to be more actively engaged in the preaching of God's word, what would you say to them? This has got something. It's okay. It doesn't have to be long.
Well, I think for me, it's I'm visual, so taking the notes,
yeah,
and seeing it and then being able to review it helps me keep it in my head better.
Very good. So writing and taking notes. Anybody else have any thoughts?
Being in prayer.
Do what?
Being in prayer, actively in prayer, preparing your heart before you're hearing the word, I think is very important.
I agree. What about Joan?
Like Lisa, I'm also a note taker, but to me, it's not even that I necessarily go back and review them. It's just the act of writing it engages my mind and my body,
yes,
as well as just my ears and my mind, and it just I don't know. It just, I think I absorb it better. And that may not be true for everybody, but it is for me.
Right. For me, it helps when I show up with the right attitude, with the right mindset. When I show up expecting to hear the Word of God, to be challenged with His Word. When you show up with that expectation and you look for it and lean into it to receive and the preaching of His Word, it is much different than just showing up, sitting down, waiting it out, and going home. It's just a whole different approach. I encourage all of you to take notes of some kind. Many, many years ago, the Air Force did a study. I don't remember who it came from, but I remember the study was that they revealed that listeners forget 75% of what they hear within 48 hours of hearing it, something to that extent, which is very discouraging for a pastor. That's saying that by Wednesday, you've forgotten 75% of the message. But when you're actively engaged, that number changes drastically. If you'll take the notes, if you'll be prayerful, if you'll be, you know, expecting and looking and not sitting there thinking, yeah, they need to hear that. Yeah, tell them, Pastor. But it's not, no, I need to hear this and I need to. Nobody's ever done that. Not here, no. It's the other people. Okay, let's get to Roman numeral 4 here. This will be quick. Studying God's Word. So the regular reading of God's Word is like riding a motorboat across the lake. It gives you a good overview of the lake and a passing view of its depths. And studying Scripture takes us beneath the surface. It gives us an in-depth look at the details that we would otherwise miss. So reading gives us breadth, but studying gives us depth. Acts chapter 17, verse number 11 is talking about a group of individuals known as the Bereans. Who's our reader? J.E., is that you, Lynn? He volunteered you. Isn't that nice?
Acts 17:11. Now these Jews, the Bereans, were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so.
Very good. See the attitude in receiving God's word? With eagerness. And they didn't just receive it with eagerness. They examined it, they reviewed it, they reflected upon it. They continued to dig in and to study for themselves. So those who search the word with eagerness, Scripture says, have a noble character. So we gotta ask, are we like the Bereans in this regard? Do you exercise your heart and your mind to consider the Scriptures? Are you careful to examine the preaching and teaching that you receive in light of God's word? God is pleased when we delight in His word. And God is pleased when we have a deep longing and a desire to study it. As Christians, we should be characterized by having a passionate love for the word of God. How many of us can claim, like the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse number 97, oh, how I love your law. I meditate it all day long. That ought to be descriptive of all of us. With that in mind, let me just highlight. I'm not going to read through these. The information is in your handouts. Some tips about how to study the Bible. So 5 helpful questions that we should ask when we study the Bible. Right? These are great questions. Question 1, what does the text say? Be careful. Not what you are putting into the text. What does the text itself have to say? What does the text mean? There's some suggestions in here. Use the grammatical, historical method. There's all kinds of methods and resources that are available. If you don't have a dictionary, a concordance, some type of Hebrew or Greek dictionary, you don't have to be a scholar in any of it, but if you can have some of these resources that you can go to, because I promise you, words matter. And our English vocabulary doesn't always rightfully capture Hebrew or Greek or Aramaic words. Sometimes our English language is lacking in able to beautifully capture the full detail and the richness of what's being said. So having a dictionary nearby is extremely helpful. What is the text saying? What does the text mean? What concerns caused the text to be written? We're trying to get the main message of the passage. So don't just study the verse or the phrase within the verse. Get a bigger picture of what's happening. Why is that verse there? Why is that chapter there? Why is this book being written? You've got to have the full picture so that you have a better understanding over the particular verse. Four is why. What do I share in common with the original audience or human author of the text? You want to understand ourselves in light of the scriptures. When the original recipients received the letter, received the instruction, what would they have understood it to mean? Not necessarily what do we understand it in our culture, in our context. We're not putting our culture, our context into it. We're trying to understand their culture and the context that they received the writings. That gives us a better understanding of what's being said. It says, how should I now respond to the truths of the text? What specifically does God require of me? Where do I need to apply the truths? How does the text encourage me and motivate me to obey God? What sins are being identified? What commands are being given? What instructions are we to follow? All of these things. And so let me just wrap this up. Our growth in godliness depends on our biblical intake. God sanctifies us through his word. Jesus, when praying for all who belong to him, said these words in John 17, verse number 17. He said, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Our sanctification is connected through the word of God. I'm going to end with a quote. This quote is from a Welsh pastor named Geoffrey Thomas. I think he shares some wisdom for us here. That's what he says. He says, do not expect to master the Bible in a day or a month or a year. Rather, expect often to be puzzled by its contents. It is not all equally clear. Great men of God often feel like absolute novices when they read the Word of God. The Apostle Peter said that there are some things hard to understand in the Epistle of Paul. That's in 2 Peter 3, verse 16. He says, I'm glad that he wrote those words because I have felt that often. So do not expect always to get an emotional charge or a feeling of quiet peace when you read the Bible. By the grace of God, you may expect that to be a frequent experience, but often you'll get no emotional response at all. Let the word break over your heart and mind again and again as the years go by, and gradually there will come great changes in your attitude and outlook and conduct. You will probably be the last to recognize these. Often, you will feel very, very small because increasingly, the God of the Bible will become wonderfully great. So, let me ask you this. In studying the Bible, tools like commentaries and study guides are often recommended. Do you use any of them? Are there any resources that you would say, hey, church, you might want to check out this. How about sharing some resources time? Here, right over there. I'm going to give you one app that I would tell you if I could only have one app, I'll tell you what it is in just a minute.
Would it happen to be the Blue Letter Bible app?
Because, no, it's okay. Better than that one.
Because whenever I discovered that the Blue Letter Bible app had the Greek and Hebrew,
yes,
it took my Bible reading time from like flat reading it in English, barely understanding it, to me writing out the scripture with the Hebrew meaning. Like not rewriting the Bible or anything, but rewriting it in what I could understand better with those new meanings. Sure. For our very limited box of an English language. So that was my tool.
Very good. Somebody else have a recommendation and then I'll give you mine? One more person, here we go. Will you take that microphone so we can all hear you?
Sorry.
That's okay.
We just recently bought a new Bible for Todd. He was reading King James Version. Uh-huh. He didn't want to change because Jesus' words were in red. That was very important to
yes.
him.
Sure.
But I read the NIV Study Bible because I want to know the background, the context. Well, where did it come from? Who was writing to who? So we just recently got him an NIV Bible. And I think in the past couple of days, it's proved to reveal so much more to him that I don't feel like I need to say, now this is who it was and this is who he's writing to. And it's been a real blessing now that we're both reading kind of in the same Bible. And
have that's the study Bible the for study, him as well?
Yeah, study Bible.
Cool, let me piggyback off of that. So the NIV study Bible is a unique study Bible because it is a... The notes in that study Bible do not come from one denomination or one pastor or one theologian. Those notes come from the original translator that gave the NIV. So it's pretty insightful. Now, the New American Standard, that's what I preach from is the New American Standard. The New American Standard also has a study Bible. And if you read the information at the beginning of it, you'll see that study Bible, they just extracted the notes from the NIV's original translator and put it into the New American Standard. So NIV or New American Standard study Bible has resources or information that come from not one person or one denominational viewpoint. So it's pretty insightful. I have them. I like mine. I'll give you my recommendation for an app. And so, those that are techie, this will be the Literal Word app. Literal Word. For those that have used the Blue Letter Bible, it's just a better version of it. Because the Blue Letter Bible, you click on things and you have to go from one place to another, and you end up going through several pages of stuff to get that information. The Literal Word app, everything is contained right there. You can pull up a chapter, a verse. You can touch the word. It'll immediately give you the Greek or the Hebrew, the definition. It will tell you all the other places that you'll find that word in the scriptures. And you can touch it right there on the screen and you can begin to see it in other places. It's just a really good app and it's very simple to use. You can choose a few translations. It has the New American Standard, it has the Legacy Standard, the English Standard, and the King James Version. Those are options for you with that app. So, literal word. I wish I was smart enough just to connect my phone to the screen and I could just show you, but it's kind of cool. One day I'll figure it out, but it won't be today. Okay, what's one thing, practical step that you could take right now today that would help you improve your biblical intake? What's one thing? Somebody just give me an answer. Prepare. have a plan? Yes. Amen. All right, church, how about some prayer requests before we go?